name is Matt Foley. I am 35 years old, and I live in a van down by the river.
From the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago, it's Steve Cochran, live from the Saturday Night Live exhibit on 720 WGN.
Well, who said we couldn't come back? Well, the people that run the place, but then I said, we'll come back anyway. We'll sneak in. We're live at the SNL Experience exhibit here at the Museum of Broadcast Communications on the fourth floor with a standing room only crowd of six right now.
For 6 a.m.
These are six people.
I count nine, but six is...
Is there nine?
Well,
six, seven, eight,
includes
nine.
Eight.
That includes Pete.
We actually could match up one-on-one with all the people on this show. Hi, how are you? Hope you had a nice couple of days and back in the saddle again. Thanks, Justin, for hosting the festivities.
Welcome back.
We'll do the top six at six here in just a second. And then is Lou going to join us this morning?
Yes.
Lou Manfredini will ask you to ask him a question. Actually, do any of you have a question for Lou? Do any of you live in homes? You live in homes? Do you have a home with an issue? Anyone have a home with an issue? You'd like Lou Manfredini to just think about it. You got like 5 minutes. Just think about a question you would ask Lou Manfredini, and it can't be come to my house and fix this, but, you know, you could bring it up. He might. Why haven't we done that as a promotion where Lou comes to your house and fixes something?
Now, that one, we could test run it on me because I have a lot of things that need to be done.
And your husband's useless.
Yeah, he is not handy. Even though he's an Eagle Scout, he has no handy skills.
He could tie a knot.
He's really good at vacuuming.
Fix the grout.
He's good at vacuuming.
He is. He is a floor guy.
Are you sure you didn't marry a... This is a guy we're talking about. He's good at vacuuming?
He is. He's really good at vacuuming.
Okay. All guys like to vacuum.
I don't like to vacuum.
Not dust. Dusting bad.
We like dusting. You dust twice a year, whether you need it or not.
It's gross. You have to dust.
We like to show that carpet who's boss.
Let's do the top six at six right now.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Don't get your kicks. With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson says 430 new officers have been added to patrols in some of the toughest neighborhoods on the west and south sides as the summer of shooting continues. That number will jump to 600 by this weekend as the push for the National Guard in the neighborhoods continues. You talked about this yesterday, right?
We did, and then Governor Rauner came out yesterday and said he's not going to send the National Guard to Chicago.
Well, let's be honest about this. This is a political nightmare for the National Guard to be in the neighborhoods for the optics of it. I don't care about the optics of it. I care about people dying in the streets, and I think if the National Guard can make a difference, let's do it.
Yeah, the question would be the quality of life. If you are not a gang member and you are not affected by it, but you have to go through checkpoints like you live in Belfast, would you want to do that?
I wonder if the neighborhood is against it. That's last thing we need is a bunch of people outside of the neighborhoods deciding for
them.
Right?
That's a great point.
Next. Quack. Global 2018 is shaping up to be the fourth hottest year on record. The fourth hottest year on record.
Oh, my God.
All right, quickly, anyone name the three previous hottest years on record?
I want to say one of the years in the 80s.
1988.
No one, no. Anyone else?
The year before last.
2017, 2016.
The year before last year.
And 2015.
Oh, no. Do you hear Steve Grzanich didn't have that right?
Yeah, nice job, Steve. But you're in outer space, aren't you?
I am in outer space. I'm on my way to the sun.
All right. Max. The parents of Melania Trump, Victor and, I don't know how you pronounce this, Almia Nouss. Obtained U.S. citizenship yesterday. Congratulations. Melania Trump's parents are now U.S. citizens. Oh, by the way, they became U.S. citizens through chain migration. That being, their daughter is a citizen, so therefore they can fast-track citizenship. This is the exact thing that Trump has been railing against, saying it's got to go. Well, now that his family is all in, I guess it's got to go.
He's like, now it can go.
Now it must go. Next! Governor Rauner said that he's preparing to personally give millions of dollars to his fellow Republican candidates in office for saying everything's on the line ahead of the November election, where Democrats are hoping to take local control of or total control of the Illinois government. In other words, the governor's mansion as well as the both houses and the Senate. Now, is it Rauner's money? Is that what we're talking about?
I think so.
Rauner's going to write the checks?
Oh, yeah. He's his personal money.
How come he hasn't been on the show lately?
He was on probably about a month and a half ago.
He needs to come back on, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He does.
What about Rom? Where's Rom? He hasn't been on the show lately.
No, he hasn't. Since he blessed the studio.
I'm still trying to get Rahm and Rauner and me together at the Billy Goat, where I buy them greasy burgers, and they have a love summit, and they get the, they get their fight behind them, and they get back together. Wait, have we received any response on that offer?
Yeah.
No, we have not yet. But I, you know what? I may need to pitch it with that more of that love summit.
The love thing?
It.
I was going to say, maybe not greasy burgers, maybe $100,000 bottles of wine.
Ah!
If you said,
can you get those at Billy Goat?
If you said, I got a $100,000 bottle of wine, both those guys would be like, I'm listening.
The Billy Goat wine list is exceptional. next. The internet is... Did the duck on delay this morning?
The duck is tired.
The internet is reporting that Idris Elba is going to be the next James Bond. I think that's a great choice.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that
Tremendous.
Guy.
But Daniel Craig just did one more, didn't he? They offered him like $50 million plus
one more.
Points on the back end of the movie. And that that should... Is that out this year? Or next spring? It's coming out.
Do I look like Dean Richards?
Well, I thought maybe you knew your James Bond stuff. No. You don't know your Bond stuff?
I don't.
No?
I don't. That is one... I don't know about... I mean, are you a big Bond guy?
No.
Yeah, I feel like I want to be. Everyone tells me I should be, and then I watch a movie, and I'm like, okay. Like, I don't feel like they're anything.
Well, I think they're good. I mean, Daniel Craig's good. I think the
He's
movies
good,
are
sure.
fine.
They're
it
fine.
Just says I don't live and die for it.
They're passive.
Live and die.
I was going
to
say,
there.
There you go. Look what you did.
One more. Here we go. The Chicago Bears. Let's go live to Dave in Cincinnati, where he's been standing by since the end of the second exhibition game last night. Dave, how is Cincinnati this morning?
It's quiet here now, Steve.
So you were up the whole night?
Yeah, I just
standing by
here
for this,
to talk to you, yes.
Yeah, okay.
A little after 6.
What did we see in the Bears last night?
We saw a team playing a preseason game in their second, really their first real game.
Nobody gives a rat's butt, in other words.
I think... That's what preseason is for. You're kind of, they're always sloppy. They're always a little bit out of sync, and that's how they look. They only played the first team offense, really, with Mitch Trubisky the first two series, and they didn't have a lot of their key guys anyway. Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel and Jordan Howard, those guys were all out. Now that
was
said,
there anything interesting about the game?
No.
Who is that Bray guy, that quarterback?
Well, he's their
pretty
third
good.
String quarter, third string
I kinda
quarterback.
I kind of like him.
What's his name?
Bray.
He played in Kansas City.
His name's Bray Bray?
I don't know Taylor his first
Bray.
Name.
Taylor Bray?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Great football name, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a good name.
My name's Taylor Bray.
But he...
he was impressive a little
Tyler,
bit.
Tyler.
Tyler Bray?
Tyler Bray.
Does he know Taylor Bray?
Taylor Bray's my brother.
So in other words, did the Bears win or lose? I mean, we don't care.
They lost
right?
the game 30-27. They had the lead late, and it was Tyler Bray who was guiding them in that most of the second half. After Chase Daniel played a little bit in place of Trubisky, and
maybe the preseason game should just be played like in a theater somewhere, just privately, you know, just behind closed doors.
It kind of was here in Cincinnati last.
Were there a big crowd?
There weren't a lot of people in the stands.
Taylor Swift should show up. They'd be Tay Tay and Bray Bray.
Oh, look at you!
Yeah,
yeah, look at you. That would make it more interesting.
It
if
would
Taylor
be more
Swift
interesting.
Is playing in the NFL. That's your top six. Or
that's
six.
That's all today for the top six.
No more.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Go ahead, Dave.
Reporting live from Paul Brown Stadium in Cincinnati, Dave Ennett, WGN Sports.
You should get to the SNL exhibit. That's where we are.
I'm on my way.
Okay, fine. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, it's time for...
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are...
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
By the way, thanks to Super Joe pushing the buttons back there. Flipping me off occasionally, but yeah, I can't see him from there. Live from Chicago, we continue, Lou, on a Friday morning. Today's show live from Saturday Night Live, the experience at the Museum of Broadcast Communications, open now through New Year's Eve. Have you been here?
Me?
Yes, Lou.
Yes,
you're the only
I have
one
been there.
Currently talking
I have
to.
Been there.
It's pretty great, right?
It really, I have to tell you, my wife and I went and we did, you know, did a little tour there, and it was pretty impressive. It brings back a lot of fun memories, especially some of the older setups of the, you know, some of the older characters where, you know, you and I are of the age when Saturday Night Live started. I can remember, you know, watching the original cast and being in on Saturday nights and really kind
well,
of
the 70s, the thing to do, yeah, the 70s thing to do was to you hurried home on a Saturday night.
You right, absolutely. Had to be home by 10:30 in Chicago to watch it.
Yeah. From where I'm sitting, you can see the music set. And by the way, these are exact duplications of what's on stage at 30 Rock in New York. You can also see the walkout, which is very cool, where the guest stars come out, the guest hosts come out and do their monologue.
Right.
And you can take a picture up there so you can pretend you're on Saturday Night Live. Not that I've done that a few times. and then after the show's over, the 500 people who have assembled here are going to get a private tour of the exhibit before they open it to the public today.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, pretty great.
Yeah, it's a great exhibit. It definitely is worth it's worth going to see, and it's nice to know that it's going to be there till New Year's.
Right, right. So come and see it. All right, so we begin with a member of our audience, and she's already won an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone from American Weather Makers.
Nice work.
The 60-Minute Man, 855-955-HVAC. Even if your question stinks, you still won that. What is your name?
My name's Laura.
First off, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Well, Laura, where are you from?
From Northfield, Illinois.
What do you do in Northfield?
I'm from Northfield.
Hey, high five.
Oh, wow.
Look at that. There's only like 1,600 of us or something.
Wait a minute, Does she have plants that are not centered in her yard?
That's right. Are you in my neighborhood and your planters
I might have uncentered
plants. Uncentered plants?
Yeah.
I actually do, but...
You guys going to kick her out of Northfield?
Oh, my goodness. Those people are going strong 3 years.
I can't believe it. It's a neighbor of Sandberg. She's thinking about having them evicted. All right, now, I'm sure you have a beautiful home. It's but nice. You have something that you don't like about it because something you need to lose help with. What is it?
Yes. So we live right on the edge of the forest preserve, and we get all kinds of pests. We have two different kinds of ants, possibly even three, mice, all sorts of things. But we just don't want to use chemicals or anything harsh or anything dangerous in our house.
How about guns? You just shoot them.
We have three cats, but they're not as helpful as you would think.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
So you're right on the edge of the forest preserve, and you've been invaded.
Yes.
All right, what do we do? Does she have to move?
So for the ants, you can use a product called Bonide Revenge Ant Granules, and you're going to put that around the perimeter of your home. It's not dangerous, and your cats really will want nothing to do with it. That's going to help you with the ants. With the mice, if you want to stay away from chemicals with the cats, there's a product called Fresh Cab, C-A-B, and it's a repellent that has these little, they're like these little sachets that you place around the perimeter of the home and even on the inside, and the rodents do not like the smell of this. There's something in it. You can use it in your garage. It was designed for when farmers left their equipment out in the field, rodents would come inside there to stay warm, and they'd chew up the wires, and you throw this in the cab, and it really does work. So you're going to get a couple of boxes of those. If you want to avoid using any kind of poisons or traps, use that inside and outside. You're going to have to change them every 30 days, but it will work.
All right. She also has cougars, lions, bears, tigers, and a guy named Joe who comes to neighborhood parties and never leaves. What does she do for that?
Well, Joe, you just got to serve something he doesn't like to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Or the granules. One of the two.
Right. And maybe you and Sandra could get together now since you're neighbors.
I know. We can go for a walk. I don't like to do lunch, so we could wave.
But she didn't offer yet.
I know. I'm just putting it out there. Right. Like
you're just putting it out there just in case?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
She seems like a delightful lady, and
she
you
does
wouldn't
seem delightful.
And you wouldn't have to go to lunch with me.
I don't do lunch
with Steve.
That's a positive. There's a lot of positives there.
We go to U-Dog-U. I like to get the Greek salad.
Well, is that one of your favorites as well?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, let's see you two. You're like BFFs already, and I don't even know what that means. Congratulations. Enjoy your thermostat. Not something I say every day. Good luck. And if you go to any Ace Hardware and mention Lou Manfredini's name and then take products without paying for them, you will be charged with shoplifting.
Okay. Right, right.
It's a special offer, limited time. All right, Lou, what's the number one concern people have today? Right now, this time of year, seasonal concern.
High humidity in the home has been a really big problem with the weather we've had lately, and I think that a lot of people are concerned, you're talking about HVAC, that, you know, their systems are just not able to keep up with this high humidity, and it's been problematic. And so I would caution people to think that, oh my gosh, something's wrong. One of the simplest things that they can do is and improve the air quality and the temperature in their home is go check that furnace filter. I'll bet you it's clogged and you're not even thinking about it, and that's why the system's working so hard and can't keep up.
How often should I change my furnace filter?
It really depends on where you live. You know, if you're in an area where there's a lot of particulate in the air, it can be once a month. It really can be. For others, they can go 3 months, 4 months and not have a problem.
Can you just come by the house and tell me if I need to change it?
I could. You could pull it out, take a picture.
How do you know if it's just it looks like your laundry lint screen, your dryer lint screen, that kind of
thing? You know what? I mean, that's actually not a bad comparison, because if you're using some of the spun fiberglass, those are the cheaper ones. You know, they typically have a blue or green tinge to them, and you can see through them. If you pull that out, that will resemble a lint trap in a dryer that's clogged. The pleated filters, the ones that are typically a kind of a white cottony look to them, they typically are white when they're clean, and when they start to turn gray or even brown, those fibers are getting clogged and not allowing us airflow, and so you want to try and swap those out. Those are the ones in particular, Steve, that clog sooner because they grab more particulate in the air, and that's the one where, you know, it's almost universal for people that you got to change it once a month.
224, I have a stucco finish on the front of my house, needs to be replaced. Any quick fixes? Duct tape.
No, well, I mean, you can buy stucco material. There's a product called Thorocoat, which is a cementitious paint that you can actually apply. It's a little bit thicker.
Okay. All right, Ivy League. Cementitious? What is cementitious?
It's a paint that has cement in it. Cementitious coating.
Did you?
I had no idea.
Yeah.
No.
I did not know cementitious.
I'm checking with the staff. Did you know cementitious?
Please,
we do lunch, I'll help all you people. Mary's not coming.
Dave, did you know cementitious? Cementitious was a linebacker for the Bears at one point, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he didn't last. He was on the practice squad.
Danny cementitious.
Blew out his knee.
So you need cementitious paint.
Called Thorocoat, and you can use that as a quick patch to kind of create the texture because it is thicker. It's not stucco, but it's a similar consistency, and if you take your time, you can make it look like stucco.
A texter wants to help, says don't forget to clean your condenser coil, unless that's a personal statement.
No, absolutely true. The condenser coil outside can be loaded up with debris, and that can cause the condenser to work harder and your system to work harder and you to spend more money on your electric bill.
What's on Lou's TV hit today?
Today we're talking, you know, kids are heading off to college, and I've got five things that you probably aren't bringing enough of when you take your child to college.
Well, give me one of them.
Power strips.
Power strips. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. There
like,
you go.
Buy a handful of those and bring them. And then I really have this really cool device that I'm going to talk about, Steve. It's brand new. It's called Athena. It's a personal safety device that is connected to your phone, and it's like this little black button that you could wear it almost like jewelry that you connect to your smartphone, and then you put in your friends that you want to know that it's a safety device. If you push a button and you're in danger, like you're walking through campus or something like that, it immediately sends text messages to however many people you want to let them know your exact location and that you need help.
That's a great idea.
It's so a great idea.
It's called
Athena, and it's from a company called Roar for Good.
Wow. Cool idea.
Yeah.
All right. You're on TV in a few minutes. You're on the radio tomorrow morning.
Love you.
All right. See you, buddy. Thanks. Love you back. That's Lou. Hold your applause. I couldn't stop them. I could not stop them.
Do you want me to punish them?
Yes, in some way.
I'll
think about how you do it.
I'll figure out a way.
John DeCoste is here as well. We'll introduce the band, come back, and continue from Saturday Night Live, the experience at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. More in just a moment on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We're going to need security. This crowd is clearly out of control.
Crazy. I love it.
I've lost it completely. Saturday Night Live, The Experience. David Plyer, yes, that David Plyer from WGN, is also on the board here at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. We'll talk to him in a few minutes. Hey, John DeCoss. John DeCoss here. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we're out of time for John.
Thanks.
Actually, John, you and I have a show 2 weeks from tonight. You want to plug that?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. This is actually kind of fun. Out at Zany's in Pheasant Run.
Just kind of fun?
Well, it depends on who's up and how funny they are.
I mean, it's not real fun. Don't get me wrong. It's not real fun. It's kind of fun. But Friday, August 24th at 8 o'clock at Zany's and Pheasant Run, you, me, Mike Toomey from WGN Morning Television Show, the three of us doing stand-up comedy at Zany's. How great is that?
Well,
we
be
have
fun.
A blast.
Be
have
fun.
Fun.
What day is it?
That's Friday
Friday
night.
The 24th.
The 24th. What time?
8 o'clock. One show only.
Okay. One show.
We're hoping to get this many people.
It's really late.
That's what I'm struggling.
That's right. 8 o'clock on a Friday night is late.
Oh yeah, I can sleep in at least.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all right.
If you do traffic,
I'll take a long nap.
If you do traffic during the week on radio, you probably won't go. Is what
that's
I'm
a very good
probably
point.
Late.
Good that's point. A very good point. We couldn't get any of the traffic people in town.
None of the
go.
Traffic people, and yeah, we invited right. all of them.
Yeah. Roz Varon, you invited Roz.
Roz, yeah,
yeah.
No
yeah.
Roz,
no,
she would
she
go. I
no.
bet. Yeah.
Yeah, Roz. Oh yeah, with her reputation. What?
Is there an after party to this?
There is, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, what we do is we go to the Chili's up the street at 11.
All right. I'm trying to see. I'm balancing it with other things going on.
Other opportunities
night.
That you might have.
I just want to see what the time commitment would be.
There's a Culver's right there.
By the way, the mystery of
the Culver's.
The mystery of Uber feet has been cleared up. 708 texter. I saw the Uber feet when he was loading the luggage in the trunk. It would be disturbing if the guy gets out of the car, he's barefoot on pavement, he's loading your luggage.
He's a natural driver. He just doesn't need synthetic things on his feet. He's a natural.
What's another word we're looking for? Freak? Would freak be part of it?
I think that other than New Balance shoes, which two of our listeners have right in the front row, people should be barefoot. It's better for your gait anyway.
There you go. Maybe that he's worried about his gait.
Yep. By the way, Podiatry Corner with Mary Sandberg Boyle. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back.
No breakfast, cheeseburger, huh? Look, cheeseburger, 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 cheeseburger.
It's Saturday Night Live, The Experience, live from the Museum of Broadcast Communications on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Cochran.
And by the way, much like Willie Wilson, I'm tired of white people telling me what to do.
I love it.
Nice group got up early to be here this morning. Each of them have won $100,000 in cash. Congratulations.
Wow. What?
Oh, I'm being told we don't have that.
We don't have
it.
Sorry,
what a shame. It seemed like such a good idea. David Plyer's here. David, what time are you on the radio?
I'm on overnights on Saturday, 2 o'clock in the morning.
2 o'clock in the morning. Are you some sort of gang member? Who's up at that
hour? It's really the only time I have left in my life to do anything for myself. So that's what we're doing. That's what we're hanging with listeners.
You have a lot of good guests and stuff.
Yeah,
now, you have a real job, too, don't you?
I do. I'm a co-CEO of Retail First, so we build store fixtures and environment stuff for like Weber Grill and Ace Hardware and True Value and
you get discounts at all those places?
Not one. No, not one discount. No, nothing.
If any of these folks need something built at their house, could you do that?
No, I can't do that either.
Okay.
I can bring Lou, though. I'll bring Lou with me.
All right, so let's talk about this exhibit.
Yeah.
First off, we should explain that you are a member of the board here.
Yeah, 15 years.
At the Museum of Broadcast Communications, and it's a great museum anyway.
Yeah, it is. It is absolutely. You know, we were the original, they call us the Chicago School of Television. That's really where everybody in the country learned how to produce, local programming, whether it was news or local children's shows. We kind of set the pace here, and actually WGN was a big leader in all that.
Right. Yeah. And the museum grew out of the great history of television and radio in this town.
Yep.
There is a radio section here. The Radio Hall of Fame is there. Am I in that Radio Hall of Fame?
I don't believe you are yet.
Was I nominated?
No, but we've got you on the list, yeah.
Mm. So, is that going to happen before I die?
No.
All right, just
it has to happen after you die.
Oh, you have to wait till you're dead?
You have to wait till you're dead.
We've already
agreed
it was
going
to. It's going to be posthumous.
Wait, he went in with his partner Gary, didn't he?
He did.
That's right.
Steve and Gary.
That's right.
That is correct. That is great. Thanks for showing up.
Steve and Gary, right.
All right, so here at the Experience, tell everybody what they're going to see.
So really, you're looking at the how Saturday Night Live is produced. I mean, first of all, there's no other show on planet Earth that transcends generations. I mean, my father started watching, my parents in the 70s, I maybe in the 80s, my kids watch it now. So really, when you think of all of television, what show can you think of that really covers?
Well, it's another hilarious show, Meet the Press.
Meet the Press is fantastic. 60 Minutes, yeah, exactly.
Right.
But here you get to really, you start off on the second floor here at the museum, and we've got three floors, and you learn every single day of the week what really happens behind the scenes to put this show on the air.
All right, so let's take it from there.
Yeah.
Tuesday, you go in, and there's something called a pitch meeting.
Mm-hmm. It's actually Monday. It starts off on Monday. Then Tuesday, you're actually sitting there, and you're looking at scripts, and Wednesday, you're starting to look at sets.
But you have the writer's room?
We have the writer's room here.
And that's a conference room with chairs, and you say, this is the writer's room.
Yeah, that's the writer's room, exactly. There's food scattered everywhere, and people
when
talking, yelling,
and swearing
at each other.
When do they build the sets? When do they start doing that?
It's really, what is it, Justin, on Thursdays? Yeah, by the time you're figuring out really what is being put on the air, it's really Thursday that's happening.
And a friend of mine's got a great story about how stupid television money is. And this is a typical Saturday Night Live story. And Lorne Michaels told him this specifically about the budgets that they have for these shows.
Yeah.
Somebody pitches a script for a Christopher Walken host week. And the script involves guys on a deserted island.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to need a boat.
That's right.
All right. Because of the unions and things in New York, the boat had to be built on Long Island.
Yeah.
Now, this is a comedy boat.
Yeah.
This is a wood-sided boat.
Yeah.
That
or
a
one-sided boat. Yeah.
May or may not float.
Yeah, that's right.
Comedy boat.
A comedy boat.
Yeah.
A
comedy boat.
So what happens is you build the boat.
Yep.
And then you bring it to Manhattan.
Yeah.
Now you got to bring it upstairs at 30 Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well,
you're taking it apart.
You got to take it apart.
Mm-hmm.
Now you do that downstairs.
Yep.
By the way, all this involves unions.
That's true.
Transportation too. Cut up the comedy boat. Bring the comedy boat back upstairs. Put the comedy boat back together.
Yeah.
And then do the script or do the sketch, I should say, on Saturday night in the run through.
That's right.
Where it finishes dead last amongst all the other scripts and
cut.
It goes away. Now, ask me how much a comedy boat costs.
Comedy boat. How much does it cost?
$70,000.
Yeah.
$70,000 for a boat that was never used.
This is like putting on a Broadway show every week and half of it isn't going to be used.
Right.
Yeah.
Dave,
crazy.
One of my favorite things about this exhibit, and for people who think that it's just a recreation or, you know, reproduction, it's not the real thing, is that when cast members come back to host Saturday Night Live, they actually go to this exhibit to pull some of the artifacts.
That's right.
So when Will Ferrell hosted Saturday Night Live, they wanted some of his costumes. You guys had to overnight the costumes back for him to wear.
That's right. Like on Tuesday or Wednesday, we'll get the call to send everything back there. You know, the recreations on this fourth floor are really the stage, and they were done by the stagehands of NBC. So they are to a T. So you get the main stage, the performance stage, and the music stage. But like this weekend update desk that we're at here right now is from Tina Fey and Amy Poehler's time. So this is the actual set. And you'll see a lot of those pieces and parts, like the church lady chair and all those other things. Those are actual props.
Yeah, this desk still smells like Tina Fey. You know, she loved Old Spice.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's no question.
So no, there's real artifacts. But it's also experiential. So you can go sit in the Wayne's World set, and the Jeopardy set from the 40th anniversary is here on this floor, and you can take pictures and walk.
Greatest
on the stage.
Bit ever, Celebrity Jeopardy.
Absolutely.
Who's your favorite Celebrity Jeopardy impression?
It's really hard to go against
Norm McDonald as Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, it's really hard to go against Burt Reynolds or Sean Connery.
Sean Connery, both tremendous.
Yeah, Daryl Hammond is fantastic.
Right, both tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so when this show is complete, these fine people are going to get a tour, right?
That's absolutely right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Now, normally, what are the hours?
Hours are 10 o'clock every day till, is it 5, Justin? 5 o'clock every day. There are evenings on Wednesday night, and then we're closed on Sunday. Hmm. And
why is everything a question
Monday.
With
We're
you?
Do
you go to any of the board meetings? How do you not know this?
Well, I have a real job, too, you know. We're closed on Mondays, but we're here every single day. Yeah.
And by the way, I don't know if you guys know the name Larry Wirt. Larry Wirt's a big shot broadcast executive. He used to run Channel 5.
He actually
runs Tribune Media. He is on the board as well, and he's actually, is he the president?
He's the head of our board. He's the president of the board.
Yeah,
and he
actually does every other tour. So there's no guarantee you're going to get him.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, this exhibit wouldn't be here without him.
Stop
sucking. I'm telling you, no, I've got to do it because I'd like to keep my job.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Great to see you, and thanks
great
for doing
Thank
this.
Thank you, absolutely.
And website for people that want to find out more.
Museum.tv, and you can get tickets there too.
And there's a lovely photo gallery up at WGMRadio.com and the Steve Cochran Show Facebook page and Twitter if you want to see things going on here this
What
morning.
Might I see?
Pictures of you, pictures of listeners wearing New Balance shoes, pictures of some of the merch that you can buy here if you come.
Yeah, there's a great gift shop.
There's a picture of David Plyer that I just put up as well.
Oh, that's nice.
The Uber driver without shoes.
Yeah. All that. Anything mentioned on the show today?
That's horrible.
Dave coming back from Cincinnati. All of it's up there.
All of it.
All right. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
All right. What's coming up at 7?
No.
Oh, we did that? What's coming up right after this? We're taking a break and we're coming back? It's my first day. We're back with the news next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Now, when he was a young man, he never thought he'd see people standing in line.
Broadcasting live from the Saturday Night Live, The Experience at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. There you go. See the exhibit before it closes on December 31st. It's the Steve Cochran Show.
Nice group. Appreciate you guys getting up this morning. And we're going to have each of you act out your favorite SNL character before the show's over. John DeCoster. John has a selection and collection of SNL trivia questions. If we can answer any of these correctly, the audience wins. We'll give them prizes.
There you go.
Okay.
You've got an audience member raising his hand.
So we're going to toss it out to the audience. Raise your hand if you have the answer. And if you need help, you can ask any of us because we're obviously geniuses. Really? Okay. John, what's the question?
Here we go. And there's a little hint in each one. So here we go. The youngest cast member ever was just 17 years old, 1 year after his birthday cake had 16 candles on it.
Hans and Franz.
Doogie Howser.
Nailed it.
Okay, you are wrong. You must leave the building.
All right, don't answer, Dave. Don't answer. You're the helper. Anyone know? Youngest cast member ever.
17 years old. His birthday cake had 16 candles on it the year before.
16
candles. Yes, in the back. Yes.
Anthony Michael Hall.
That is it.
Yeah, nailed it.
That is correct.
He was 17?
17.
16 candles. I got it.
Yes.
Nice job.
Do you see what I'm doing?
I thought it was Molly Ringwald.
It's not a song, but it clicks.
What, Sandberg, what do you want to give her?
I'm going to give you a Lou Malnati's gift card.
Yeah. Ah, pizza. You've won pizza.
Pizza.
Lou Malnati's pizza. Oh, she's throwing her fist in the air, which means she's either thrilled or angry.
A little bit of both.
Congratulations at LouMalnati's.com. John will have more of those coming up. And we will continue in just a second with the most valuable person on the planet. And super sneaky reason Lorne Michaels is in town this weekend. All I'm saying is get your best riddles and puns together. You could get discovered.
You love Chicago Fire, the gritty drama about the brave men and women in the Windy City. And you couldn't tear your eyes away from Chicago PD. Now, Dick Wolf is back with a new drama about another group of Chicagoans struggling in the face of an unforgiving city.
You guys ready?
Let's do this.
It's Dick Wolf's Chicago Improv. An unfiltered look at the cutthroat world of Chicago's improv comedy scene.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It is cutthroat.
How many entertainers have to die before we put an end to this? How many? The most valuable person on the planet is here, the MVPP. And Justin, why don't you do the introduction?
Yeah, sure. Shelby Plummer is a creative director at I.O. Chicago. She is, of course, the I.O., which was was Improv Olympic before they were sued by the Olympics.
Right, so and, they went to I.O. because it's cool.
But I.O. Chicago is one of the greatest improv comedy clubs and workshop education.
Let me ask you a question, Justin.
Yeah.
Did these guys come from I.O.? Mike Myers.
Mike Myers, yes.
Yes.
Right? You know, Shelby would know
John,
better than
turn her microphone on, John, if you went on the box.
She's got it. She's got it. It's on.
She's just a good improviser.
That's all right.
She's listening. Yeah.
Mike Myers, Tina Fey.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I.O. Chris Farley.
Yep. Amy Poehler.
Jordan Peele.
Yep.
Seth Meyers.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Meadows.
Mm-hmm.
Amy Poehler. Oh, you said that.
Yeah.
Rachel Dratch.
Yep.
Mayor Daley.
Mm-hmm. He did.
Mayor Daley was a great zip, zap, zop improviser. People don't know that.
That's how he won his campaign.
That's how he won his campaign. You
know? And I think we can agree, Mayor Daley, hilarious.
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 Funniest guy I've ever met in my life.
Shelby, you know, the I.O. has been a great place in Chicago, a hidden treasure, if you will, because it brings so many audiences in. You can't go to a place there where it's not packed. But it has become more nationally known because of Saturday Night Live. It used to only be Second City, but it seems that they've gone out of their way to look for cast members and writers and other creatives at I.O.
Yeah, I feel like the level of education that we have, and also in the city of Chicago, I think that Chicago is such a great training ground for comedians. You usually can't find a famous comedian who hasn't gone through Chicago.
It's a funny city.
So, yeah, we're funny. We're the city of big shoulders and the city of big legs.
What is it, though? What is it? I mean, because now you have comedy clubs that do improv in New York and L.A. They've caught up. But what is it? What's in the water here in Chicago that makes it such a great pipeline to SNL?
Yeah, I think that in Chicago you have to hustle. Like, to be good, to put up your own work, to get any stage time, you really have to hustle and do your own work. And I think once you can do that here, that kind of grit really shows.
Now, you actually, you'll train novices.
Yes.
You'll take people off the street who aren't funny and say, I'm going to make you funny.
Right. So any of our classes, you can start at level one and you just go through those. And a lot of people take it, you know, in my level going through classes, we had a lot of people who were lawyers or people who wanted to get better at public speaking or communications.
There's no downside to that.
Yeah, right.
Right.
And you have people who want to be on SNL. So it's like, it's a good combination of folks and you get a good friend circle kind of coming out of that.
Shelby, this weekend, I mean, we were kind of joking around. Lauren Michaels is going to be in this building tonight.
There's no possibility he's looking for talent. Yeah, none whatsoever.
And it's a very well-known tradition that Saturday Night Live writers and Lauren Michaels come to Chicago to check out shows.
But not in August, Justin, just before the season.
does the buzz sort of take over the clubs at this point when they know SNL is in town?
Oh, yeah. When we have our showcases, they usually sell out without us doing any advertising. They usually sell out within about a half hour of us putting it on our website.
You know, back in the day, a decade I called the 90s, you wouldn't remember. It was a long time ago. there'd be pop-ins. There wouldn't be an announcement. There'd just be pop-ins. Does he let you know he's coming?
He does, but I would say probably about a week to a week and a half in advance. Okay. So it's still a tight turnaround.
I don't want to get too in the weeds, but more often you see performers now. It used to be that they'd be improvisers in a group, right? So you'd have people on stage and then they'd say, that person's good and that person's good. Now you're in a position where you're seeing more and more improvisers create one-person shows. And the idea is that they're almost starting their monologue. They're starting their audition. When they start, they're developing it, knowing it someday Lorne Michaels is going to see it. Does that change the art forms? Does that change the way that people are going through it, knowing that they need to create one-person shows as opposed to ensemble work in improv?
Yeah, I think a key to like a strong improviser is someone who can do all of that, obviously, so that you can kind of think on your feet, on the spot, improvise, but also be a good at creating characters that work for yourself, and that you can also take from like an SNL audition to that stage. A lot of the people who do the SNL showcase, which is a lot of character work, end up doing those same characters on SNL at some point.
Right.
So, and you can take somebody that's got a rough idea of what they should be doing and go, this is what's funny, this is what maybe you could drop and help him hone that.
Right, right.
Now, John is doing a new character called Guy Sitting Next to You. I don't know what you think of it.
Yeah, I just came up with it right now.
It's great. You've had this whole time.
I wrote it all out. So, you know, I do want to say something. I think that one of the reasons that it plays in Chicago so well is, and this happens in stand-up as well, New York comics talk about New York stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And L.A. comics talk about L.A. stuff. Mm-hmm. But in Chicago, we play to the masses.
Yeah.
So I think that's a bit also improv, too. You could play in front of any
broader talent skills.
Yes, yeah, it's good.
So, do you guys at the space at IO? Do you choose who's going to be seen by Lorne Michaels? Are you saying this person's ready, this person's not?
Yes, yeah. So we usually take about 2 months ahead of now. So this is our final showcase season. We usually take about 2 months, one night a week. We'll just see as many performers as possible, and we have roughly around 600 performers.
How do you know? You get to 527. How do you know if it's funny?
I'm sorry.
If you get to like 527, 528, how do you know it's funny? That's a lot of stuff to see.
It's a lot of stuff. But I think after a while you start to see like, oh, what's different? What kind of invigorates an audience? You can obviously tell a lot about like stage presence or who can captivate an audience or really write for themselves. So sometimes, I mean, it was really hard this year.
Yeah, but you also have like stars at the theater that they're there year round and you recognize that person has paid their dues. I would assume that there's a little bit of hierarchy to be like,
I'm saluting our most valuable person on the planet because I don't care how good you are at this. If you're 600th in a line of 600, you aren't nearly as funny as the fifth person that came up. It's just human nature.
Yeah, that makes sense. To be fair, I do see a lot of comedy and tend to be really happy watching it. So try to keep it
narrow. Right, Shelby, the question I have is that somebody tonight is going to shine. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be writers, it's SNL, and they're all going to be there, and they're going to be like, this is amazing, or tomorrow night. And then they're going to be someone you know is tremendous, right? And they get up there and they bomb. How do you deal with that, the idea that tonight there's so much pressure on these improvisers, or this weekend, because Lorne Michaels is in the audience?
Yeah. I think a lot of the times we do try to tell people that there's no direct path to a career in comedy. You know, I think a lot of people do think, like, SNL is the one way, and granted, it's a very good way. But there are other avenues, and I think other opportunities that go...
Uber's
right,
an avenue.
You can do Uber. Yeah. Lyft, great company. Yes, but yeah, there is always that risk, right, with live comedy and characters.
I think we had Chris Redd in last week, and he came from Second City, and he said there they made it seem like the only thing to do is go to SNL. Yeah. Like, it was shoved down his throat, so it made him not want to do it until he auditioned, and then he's like, oh.
That's a great point. Yeah. With all the diversification now, where you have Netflix and other places where you can do shows, SNL's not the holy grail for improvisers anymore, because you can end up working at so many different television shows.
Well, in case Lorne Michaels is listening, what you meant to say is SNL is the holy grail.
Yes. It is the holy grail. Yeah, I'm not saying that it's not, but yeah. Yeah, I guess I don't want any of my improvisers who are listening tonight, I don't want them to
skip SNL, try something else.
Yeah, you know, and honestly, with the pressure thing,
because
John, you know, from stand-up for years, the worst thing you can see is somebody type before a show because you're not going to be funny.
And
it's hard not to be nervous, obviously, but if you're nervous, lay down until it passes and then get up and go out because you're doing yourself the best favor then. I mean, it's a fun job, I would assume.
Yeah, it's great. It's really wonderful when you get to see, like, your friends and really funny people shine on stage. Yeah.
It's going to be an electric weekend at I.O. Saturday Night Live people are in town to find the next cast members. Is that what they're looking for? Cast members, writers? What are they looking for?
She can't tell you. If she tells you, she'll have to kill you.
See, that's true. Actually, and we don't know a lot of the times. So it kind of tends to be a little bit luck of the draw, or, you know, we'll send in a list of people and they'll tell us a couple people that they do want to see, or, like, if they're searching for something specific. But a lot of the times we don't know.
And a lot of times, that's just to say, we want this person to come to New York and audition for SNL, right?
Right.
So they're seeing him tonight, this weekend, and saying, we like this person, come audition.
Right.
Well, I mean, so much of this could be done by video, live or by video. But still, there's nothing like in person, because you got to have a sense of their stage presence and whatever.
I think it's awesome that they come, right? Don't you think it's awesome, audience, that the SNL people don't do it by video, where they come to Chicago and experience it in the moment? I love it. It's going to be an electric weekend.
Dave, good news for you. I've just received word from Lorne Michaels.
Yes.
That they are looking for an incredibly fit 61-year-old guy who does a lot of sports.
Well, Dave is 63.
Okay, Mary, you really...
I knew she was going to say that. I knew she was going to come around and go.
My parents,
then you're out.
So.
You're out, Dave.
You know the weird part, Dave? I rounded down to 61 because I'm your friend. Why did I round to 61? Why wouldn't I go 60 or 59? Right.
You could have.
What a weird number to choose.
They're looking for a 45-year-old fit man. See what I did for you there, Dave?
Yeah, you're already...
Thank you.
You're already in the veterans troop. So, get a plug in for the regular events. I mean, it's not just this weekend.
Right. So, actually, in the next 2 weeks, we do, if anybody is interested in kind of getting into Chicago comedy, seeing an array of shows, we have
these audience, funny people. Funny people. They all should go.
You should go. We have a Bentwood Comedy Festival. So, that's going on until the 19th. You're going to see an array of acts, you know, from Chicago that are local acts, but you're also going to see, like, Scott Adsit, Jet Evelith, Beer Shark Mice, Repeat, which is Chance the Rapper's favorite group. Fun fact. And
Beer Shark Mice is a ton of L.A. guys that you would know. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we're also going to see Jordan Klepper from The Opposition. He's coming with some of their writers. And then actually in September, we're having a $5 comedy weeknight special. So if you want to try out a bunch of comedy, it's going to be $5 for every show, every night of the week. Come out, have a fun date night.
There you go. Yeah.
Website?
It's www.ioimprov.com.
Thanks for getting up. Appreciate you coming over.
Thanks, Shelby.
Thanks,
all right. Go I.O.
I'm Anderson Cooper, and if you ever wondered what's whiter than St. Patrick's Day, you're looking at it.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
2 things guaranteed to make you laugh and maybe creep you out just a little. Alex Moffitt doing Joe Scarborough. And that wiggly tongue. And Joe Scarborough, who asks the longest questions in the history of broadcasting, all of which are about him. But Eric Trump, Alex Moffitt is Eric Trump. I start laughing before he walks on camera.
He does a great job.
So great. Let's say hi to him now and welcome him home, at least by phone. Alex, how are you?
Hello, gentlemen. How's it going?
Are you... Going great. Thank you for the Eric Trump. The Eric Trump makes my week whenever I see you.
Oh, that's very kind. I appreciate that. He's a good time to play, that guy. Or whatever version of him we have invented. It's a lot of fun.
Have you received any heckling or threats from the Trump circle for your portrayal of Eric Trump?
I can't speak on that. No, I'm kidding. No, I haven't gotten any. No heckles or threats.
We're live on SNL, The Experience. Justin, say hi.
Hi, Alex. You know, we just talked to Shelby at I.O. about the experience this weekend with Lorne Michaels and some of the staff from SNL being here in Chicago. Your experience, is saying, you know, you were an improviser in Chicago, had a chance to work at both Second City and I.O. What was your experience like knowing that the SNL writers and the and Lorne Michaels were in the audience watching you perform?
Oh, you mean when I actually,
when
were
you got
in the
show?
Yeah. No, it was. It wasn't a surprise. I'll tell you that it was a specified SNL showcase. So, that happened for me at I.O., where I've been involved for years and years as a performer. I actually was living in L.A. at the time and was back in Chicago just like for some family stuff, and my wonderful Chicago agent Marisa was like, "Hey, SNL's coming to town in a few days. Do you want me to try to get you in that showcase?" And I was like, "Yeah, what do you think?" So I got myself and like 15 other performers did our best, 5 minutes of bits, characters, and impressions, and I was happy with how it went. So it was certainly thrilling. It was like a dream come true.
Did you do the guy who just bought a boat or the guy that's terrible at sex? Did you do either one of those?
I believe he goes by the first moniker, Steve. the other stuff he can't help himself but mention. I did not. You know, that character became a thing during my first season. There's an awesome writer on the show called Anna Drezin, who I write that character with, and she and I created that guy together. So I did not do that guy in my audition, though I would like to claim full credit for it.
I gotta say, it's nice that you bring that up and you claim that you guys just fell on this, but this is obviously someone you know in your life. Out them right now.
What's that?
What this is obviously someone you know in your life, a friend of your parents. This is someone you know in your life who just bought a boat. There's got to be some inspiration there.
Oh, yeah. It's loosely based, and I do hope he's listening. Loosely based on a guy. There's no way he's listening. He's from Baltimore. But this father of a girl I went to college with, who was her folks basically drove in from Baltimore with like this seafood buffet for her 21st birthday, and set it up on this lawn. And then I was like, hey, to the parents, I was like, hey, thank you so much for this bread. This is terrific. And he goes, oh yeah, drove over from Baltimore. Was in the front leading the pack in the vintage XJE. I was like, okay, well, great. Yeah, it's a nice car. And he goes, oh yeah, got the wife back there in the brand new Escalade, And I was like, okay, cool. And he goes, oh yeah, of course, got a whole fleet of boats back there, back in Baltimore.
That's right.
And I was like, okay, sure. And he goes, of course, you live on the bay. You got to have boats. There's a motto if I've ever heard one, buddy.
He's the guy with the boat. John DeCoste, go ahead, bud.
Well, I was just going to say, and then, we added the other stuff that you mentioned on a very late writing night when we decided, what is the subtext of this man?
He has a boat, and he's really bad at sex. John, say hi to Alex Moffitt.
Hi, Alex. Good morning. I do stand-up comedy, and Zany's is my home club. You performed at Zany's. It wasn't improv, though. You did stand-up?
I did, yeah, and I do stand-up. Yeah. Hi, John.
Hello.
What's your last name?
DeCoste.
Okay. I feel like I've seen
thanks,
your name
thanks
up
for the,
on a
thanks
Zany
for the
poster.
Blank on that, Alex.
Yeah, I was going to say, Alex, what are you running a background check on him?
That was quick. We're not dating. I don't think that's going to happen.
What's your
Alex met John on Tinder. So have you seen the SNL exhibit, the SNL experience that we're sitting in now? We're sitting at Tina Fey and Amy Poehler's desk from Weekend Update.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I was there for the opening of that last summer. It's awesome.
Yep, and we got a great big crowd.
Yeah, they did a great job with that. You got a good feel for the SNL experience.
Hey, Alex, we had Chris Redd in last week, and he's talking about the discipline that it takes to do Saturday Night Live. He said that this is the one he usually overworks. He outperforms his jobs. This is the one job that's exhausted him in the way that the way that the cycle of being an SNL cast member. Do you see it the same way? I mean, did the discipline and the routine and the experience here in Chicago help you with what you do on SNL?
Yeah, were you about to say SNL athlete for a second there?
Yeah, I was. So, yeah, right.
That has a nice ring to it. I love the job. I think it definitely takes a certain amount of discipline and hard work. I mean, you know, each week is like its own. It's like a beast to conquer. It's exhausting, but it's the most rewarding and fun thing that, you know, I've ever gotten to do. I think that there's something about Chicago and the sort of discipline of people who, you know, take it seriously there, who want to do shows every night and want to, you know, stretch themselves some and, you know, not just get into some rut of like just doing the same characters over and over again or the same improv over and over again. If you are the type of performer who like wants to try, you know, improv and sketch and stand up and you want to sort of write new stuff for yourself all the time, like, you know, then you, yeah, that's kind of how it is over at SNL.
It's Alex Moffitt. When do you guys go back to work?
You know, the SNL season is sort of like a college school year schedule. So we go back to school end of September, and then we have, you know, Christmas break, and then it ends. We are out for summer break end of May. So end of September. And we have like five spring breaks. That's the only caveat.
Yeah. It's like going to Northwestern, Dave. They're on a trimester.
Yeah, very simple.
Exactly.
Yeah. Alex Moffitt, great to talk to you. Is there anybody in town that always thought you'd fail and never make it in the business? Would you like to rub their face in it right now, Alex?
Oh, they knew who they are. I'm sure there are plenty who were surprised when this all happened. But hello, everybody. Nice to see you. No, it's nothing like that. For the most part, I had people help me along the way. So Chicago's the greatest.
All right, but appreciate you being on. And by the way, give your mom a hug from us. I thought she was the best mom on the Mother's Day Open.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I thought your mom kicked butt. I thought your mom was solid. I thought you nailed it.
Oh, okay. Well, I will mention it in my prayers tonight. Thank you.
All the best. Thanks for being on.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
See you later. Alex Moffitt.
There you go, Alex. All right.
Good man. Texter 312, the museum ought to send brochures to Midway for the information booth in the baggage claim area. We have many brochures on what to do in Chicago. Where's Plyer? Get those brochures to Midway, man. Brochures to Midway. Let's go.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Yeah. Nice crowd. We're feeding them now. They're very happy. We'll get to that in just a second. Oh, congratulations to our own Steve Tarpley. He came to his senses and just got promoted. He's one of our big shot sales types. And
well deserved.
He's having a good week.
Yeah.
So now I'm sure he'll turn into a diva at this point.
Yeah, he's already. I thought the fur coat yesterday was too much.
Was that ostrich?
Yeah, he was wearing ostrich. Yeah,
was it the Manafort, is it called?
The Manafort, right.
Yeah. Sandberg, would you introduce our friend here who decided to feed this crowd?
Yeah, we've got George from the Palace Grill. Fresh off their anniversary party in which was last weekend.
You guys ate because of George, huh? Come on. Hey, good to see you.
His lovely daughter Christina is with him. I'm not sure.
She's not getting up at this hour unless she has to, right?
Good morning. No, Christina has a wedding this weekend.
Oh,
so,
okay.
I had to take care of everything.
Ah, boy, that never ends. Listen, it's great to see you. Condolences on, I guess it goes to all of us, but condolences on Stan Mikita. I know how much the Blackhawks mean to you guys, but also you had personal relationships with so many of these guys.
Everything that you've read, everything you've heard, everything that you see is so true about Stan Mikita. He's one of the greatest people that I've ever met, not just as a professional athlete, as just a person in life. He's the sweetest man, the kindest man, the wittiest man.
I'm back you up 1,000% on all that.
He's just a class guy. I cried when I heard he passed away. I know he's been sick for a while, and I know his family really well. Daughter Janie and Jill, his wife, Scott. They're just a great family, and it's not just hockey's loss, it's life's loss.
I agree.
This is a life loss, and the city of Chicago should be mourning. They are mourning, and he's just a classy, classy man and family.
And, you know, this Blackhawks organization will do something special to remember him this season. But nobody's ever going to forget Stan. I mean, he's one of the greats.
Yeah. It was an honor to know him. It was incredible to watch him play. Unfortunately, when I saw him play, I didn't know him that well. But we became friends later on in life. And he's just a special, special man.
Really good golfer for the majority of his life as well. And to tell you how competitive he was. Could have been more than 5 or 6 years ago. We were playing in an outing, and I saw him in the locker room afterwards. And I said, "How'd you hit it?" And he went into a tirade. "I can't hit it out of my shadow. It's crap." And it was a good tirade because he had the same fire he had when he was playing for the Hawks.
Great golfer.
He was a really good golfer.
Golf pro at Kemper Lakes.
Yeah, yeah.
And anybody who touched his life or anybody who he touched their life, that's Stan Mikita.
Yeah, and we'll keep you up to date with what the Blackhawks plans are as a Blackhawks radio station here.
I don't know if you know this, but since last time we had George in, they talked about their anniversary at the Palace Grill, and then he took it to the next level of being famous as he was on Windy City Live with Ryan Cheverini.
Could they tell which was George and which was Ryan Cheverini?
No, it was very difficult.
Yeah, you're like twins.
I'm much skinnier than Ryan.
Yeah, you're like twins. But happy anniversary, man. How many years?
80 years.
Just 80? 80.
80 years.
You think it'll last?
Yeah, it'll last. Where am I going? Of course it's going to last. I don't know. It's not going to last another 80 years. But, this is quite a year. The restaurant's in its 80th year. I turned 60 in May, and I'm in my 40th year running the Palace Grill. So a lot of history there.
Nice.
Any business in 80 years is something. A restaurant in 80 years is quite an accomplishment.
You got to be such a people person.
I am a people person. I'm actually quiet and reserved. Anybody who knows me knows I'm quiet and reserved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you got to love people. 40 years in the business, 40 years of running a restaurant.
I'm the luckiest man in the world. I'm a blessed man. I've got a great restaurant. I've got a great wife. I've got great kids. And the only thing missing in my life is grandchildren. So tell my daughter next time you see her, we got to get going on that.
I tried this with Dave's daughter-in-law.
Trust me, George, you really don't want Steve having that conversation.
First time I met Dave's daughter-in-law, I said, "What's going on with you two, you and Steven? You need help figuring out how this goes? Come on." Because it's something else, pal. Once it happens.
If I could speak for the daughter and daughter-in-law, you guys don't get an input.
What?
On whether or not they're going to reproduce our...
What?
Definitely not.
I have my son. My son's still around, too, but my son lives in Dubai. He's on the other side of the world. But I do believe good things are happening for him, too. I can't say
That's
anything,
great.
But within the next couple of weeks, I think that there's going to be a special announcement in his life, too.
Well, God bless.
Hey.
God bless. Great to see you. Thanks for breakfast.
Great to
Thanks,
see you guys. You're welcome.
Palace Grill.
Yeah, loved it. Ride of the West Loop.
Texter from the 773 says, "George is a true gentleman in every sense of the word. He makes everybody feel welcome. It's an honor to say I know him." It's Sean from Chicago Police Department. And good morning to you, Sean. Thanks for the service you do as well.
Here to comment further is Update Health Correspondent.
Dear Rosanna Dan.
Shame you ignorance.
Live from the Museum of Broadcast Communications, it's Cochrane. That's Saturday Night Live, The Experience on 720 WGN.
Really nice crowd assembled. They got up at a ridiculous hour to come to this ridiculous show.
Thank you for that.
Do we have any idea why David Plyer is pulling out bozo buckets now? What's happening there? Is he starting his own show?
I think it's, there's no, yeah, maybe
it's like a completely separate show.
Wow, that is a bozo bucket.
Why do you have bozo buckets?
Well, we might give a few away to our fans here. In fact, everyone's going to get a $25 gift card to STK Restaurants, 20% off Harry Carey. We got some NBC mouse pads. We're going to give away some bozo buckets to some folks.
Giving away bozo buckets.
Look at that.
Yeah, you can give those away?
And by the way, these are the actual buckets.
Yeah, these are
from Bozo.
Yeah. They're priceless.
Yes.
They're insured, but yeah.
I would have just waited a couple of years. You get a Bozo bucket.
Keep him for the weekend. Dave's going to need him back on
Monday.
That's
right. On Monday would be great.
We're on the waiting list.
Dean Richards joins us for Channel 9. Hello, buddy.
I've just issued a cease and desist order.
You're trying to get Plyer to bring the buckets back?
On the Yucket Bays.
I understand.
Yeah.
All right. John DeCoste is here with Saturday Night Live trivia. If this crowd can't answer the question, they can use Dean as help.
Yes.
Oh, that's good. Hi, Dean. Good morning.
John, good morning.
Good morning. Here we go. You ready for the question?
Yes.
Here we go. You're the backup, Dean.
I'm ready.
Although his wife was hired as a writer, this actor was rejected by Lorne Michaels in 1995 and was forced to spend the next 20 years as a despicable office virgin.
No, I got it.
Don't shout it out. Pete, pick somebody.
I got it.
Right there, right in front. Say it again.
All right.
Wait, that is correct. She got it.
Wait, hold on.
Steve Carell.
That's right. Good job.
All right, now she wins, too.
How do you react? How do you reject Steve Carell?
You got a condition. It's premature question answering. You should see a doctor about this.
I apologize.
Pete's in charge of going to the first person he sees that raises their hand.
We just discussed that now. That rule just came up at 8:10.
When I was in high school, we would go see Steve Carell at Second City. There was this an idea that he was the star of Second City, and he did a show at Second City Northwest, which was in Rolling Meadows as well.
Dean, when
huge
we were,
star.
Dean, when we were in high school, we used to go to see Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons.
I don't want to try to one-up him in any way, but back in the day, I would go to the Hard Rock Cafe, and Steve Carell would wait on me and take my order there.
Whoa!
Holy nice. Cow.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah,
wow.
I can even go farther back. I was at Stuckey's, and Dean waited at me.
Is that right? That's tremendous. Good for all of you. One more question.
Here we go. This baby mama rocked it as the first female head writer.
That's easy.
Tina Fey is correct. Yes, very good.
Congratulations. Get another winner. What are we giving away, Samber?
Apt gift card.
Apt gift cards. Woo. Congratulations. Go to Apt. Spend some of the Apt money. And thank you, John. Dean's gonna review
where you
some
bring
movies.
Out Steve Carell and Tina Fey now as surprise guests.
Yes.
Dan Aykroyd's coming up after 9. Nobody's more surprised than Dan that he's on the show this morning. but he'll be on at 9:00. And Horatio Sands coming up. And Justin, you were just telling me Horatio Sands had a big day.
He had a big day.
Yeah, well, he became a citizen?
Yeah, I want to ask him about this. I saw it all over Instagram that he had his hand on a Bible and a hand up in the air and American flag, the whole bit. So I didn't know much about it, but he became a citizen.
Well,
how about
he is
that?
Very
about
religious.
That's cool. Yeah. Well, I've already
or
stuck,
he's religious. He
I've already
religious.
Stuck my foot in it this day, so we'll let you answer that question or ask that question.
Yeah, I'll talk about it.
All right, movies coming up. What ones are you going to review?
We have a good shark movie that's opening this weekend. We've got Spike Lee's best movie in at least a decade, maybe more. And
best movie since Inside Man?
I wouldn't even go back a little further than that. But, yeah, I think this one's as good or better than Inside Man.
Which
and
great
what else
movie.
Do we have? Oh, that dog movie, Dog Days.
Is that the one that Dave Bennett's in?
Is Dave Bennett in that movie?
I think so.
Yeah, he made cut out movie? Of the final so. Edit with that. I didn't notice.
Is he
that,
rolling so. On the floor?
You sure it's not Mary's parents who are in it?
Ooh.
Ooh.
That sounds like a throwdown.
You should listen to the show. It's very
are you sure it ain't your mama in that movie?
Oh, man.
What?
Way to go deep.
All right, John, one more question.
Oh, okay, sorry. Here we go. Kenan Thompson became the first cast member to be what since the show premiered in 1975?
Willie Wilson said black guy, and he's tired of white people telling him what to do.
No, that's not the answer.
Okay, sorry.
No app card for you. Kenan Thompson became the first cast member to be what since the show premiered in 1975?
Steve Harvey?
Anybody?
Fat Albert?
No.
Oh, that's a good question.
No.
It's a good question. Anyone? Anyone? Anyone?
Back there?
On the weekend update desk?
No.
No? All right. How about help? Anybody on the
longest side? Running cast member?
No. Wait, didn't this guy win already? Look at you, Mr. Expert back there.
That's what I would have said, yeah.
Kenan Thompson. Read the question again.
Kenan Thompson became the first cast member to be what since the show premiered in 1975?
Sober? Is it sober?
No.
Sober for the entire week. How about right up here in the corner? Pete is running around with the microphone. Looks like Pete? A Phil Donahue impression.
Eddie Murphy?
No.
No.
You did that? It was not Eddie Murphy?
No.
All right.
I didn't think this would be that hard, but that's good.
Oh, I don't know.
All right, we think we have an answer in the third row.
Third row, yes.
All right, what is it?
Host?
No.
Host?
No.
No.
All right, is anybody celebrating their birthday today? All right, close to your birthday? Who's got a birthday? Very close, coming soon.
Sorry, Pete.
Albert?
Yes.
No, it's not Fat Albert. All right, the lady in the back's got a birthday coming up soon. John, what's the answer?
The answer is born.
Born?
Yes. He was the first cast member born after the premiere of the show.
Oh, I got it. No, that's really hard, and you're
terrible
a jerk.
Terrible question. Terrible question.
Yeah, you're a jerk
DeCoste
for writing that question.
The show. He ruined the show.
Take that!
Yeah, DeCoste. That's why people don't like you, John.
This is John ruining the
this
show.
This is why.
As he does.
All right, Dean. We'll come back and do these movies in a second on 720 WGM.
Be calling his name. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 9 and 7.
Who wrote that? That's a John DeCoste production. We're back. Saturday Night Live, the experience. That's Bozo Bucket number 6. Hi, Dean, I have Bozo Bucket number 6. We're going to give away Bozo Buckets on the show.
Just number 6?
Well, I tell you what, quick question. Bozo Bucket number 6, the largest of the Bozo Buckets, will it fit my head? If I put it on my head, will it fit my head?
Oh, try.
No, your head will be too big for it. All right, let's go.
Oh, it looks like a good size. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Your head fits in
yes.
there. Oh, wow.
Steve, I have to tell you.
Steve, that's Bozo Bucket number 9.
Oh, that's 9.
Yeah.
So this is the big and tall Bozo Bucket?
Well, no, it's only 9 because it's upside down, guys.
Thanks,
Mayor. Right side up, it's number 6. But this is, you can use this at Wrigley Field to sit in the bleachers in case part of the scoreboard pops off.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Crap's falling at Wrigley
like
Field
the
all the time.
You can use this as, to deflect any pins.
Now, you can you can buy a bucket number 6 online, too, at museum.tv if you want to have your own.
What an embarrassing shill you are. all right, Dean, let's talk about the shark movie. What do you got?
It's called The Meg, which is not a Sharknado wannabe movie. It's not one of these shark movies that's so bad that it's good. This is actually the real deal. It's a real white knuckler about a creature which is discovered at the depths of the ocean that is apparently a prehistoric shark long thought to be extinct.
That old story.
Discovers. But this is the mother of sharks. This is not like any shark that you've seen in any movie before. And it's surprisingly exciting. I thought it was going to be, you know, kind of a goofy shark movie. But, you know, the story is okay. The cinematography is beautiful. The action sequences underwater are absolutely, you know, stunning. And as I said, very white knuckling. So I cannot believe that I'm giving a shark movie a Dean's List B+. I really like
that. How
about that?
All right. Yeah. How about that? But by the way, why The Meg?
Oh, because the actual name of the shark is Megalodon. That's the one of the scientists in the group said, "Oh, this must be the prehistoric that we thought was extinct Megalodon." So they just call him Meg because they're too busy to actually say the entire word.
Yeah, Meg sounds like your aunt that you don't want to have visit. I don't know.
That's right.
This would be an awesome movie for The Rock, I'm just saying.
Yes, that's right. You were your affection
You got
for the
a
Rock.
Jason Statham in this movie. I don't
Statham's
know.
Statham's good, but
He's great. He's great. What about the doggy movie?
The doggy movie is called Dog Days. I'm calling this Love American Style on 4 legs because it's 5 different vignettes. you know, the people interactions, relationships, etc. Who cares about the people? They're all connected by their furry friends in this movie, the dogs in this movie. All I can say about this movie, it's very sweet. If you have a dog, if you love or have loved a dog, you're going to find this movie especially touching, especially sweet. It's funny. I'm not going to lie. I shed a little tear a couple of times thinking about my last dog that I had.
And it's rated R for leg humping?
It's rated PG. And there is one leg humping scene in the movie. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, we don't
leg humping
that.
Movie in the scene.
Only one?
Only one. And Spike Lee, with a story that is still unbelievable that it's true, about an African-American guy who infiltrated the Klan. When did this happen?
This happened in the late 70s. So the whole setting of this movie, which is called Black Klansman, is, you know, very retro 1970 clothes, cars, music, etc.
Great soundtrack?
Really great soundtrack. But it stars John David Washington, who has inherited his Oscar-winning father's talent in the acting department, his father Denzel Washington, who Steve is, many of you at the museum this morning, probably wondering, how did they get Denzel Washington to come and host this show here?
You see it? I mean, we're like twins.
Everyone says that when wherever Steve goes.
It's so weird. I either get Clooney or Denzel, depending on the lighting.
Well, this would be like Ross Cochran, then, starring in this movie, son of the Oscar winner in this movie, who is Ron Stallsworth, is the name of the actual police officer who did this, along with another police officer who happened to be Jewish. On the phone, it was the black Ron Stallsworth who was talking to the KKK, and David Duke, played beautifully by Topher Grace in this movie. And in person, when they met in person, Adam Driver is the white Ron Stallsworth in the movie. And it's funny and it's amazing that the whole thing is true, but it is a major statement on race relations back then, how far we haven't come in that area since then. And there are some major statements that are made in this movie about today's headlines in race relations, white supremacists, etc. It's rather brilliantly written and amazingly performed, and I gave it a Dean's List A.
How about that? Three good movies for
really,
the weekend.
Three pretty good movies this week.
Bye, buddy. I'll let you go.
Have fun.
That is Dean Richards.
Yeah.
And good night.
Nice. John David Washington, the star, Denzel's son. I interviewed him for the Download podcast. You can find it at WGNRadio.com.
All right.
He's great.
And get that anytime you want at WGNRadio.com. Here's what we'll do. We'll take a break, come back. Horatio Sanz is here live, and we'll continue with him and also with Steve Stone on the way right after headlines, which is next on 720 WGN.
I believe I am psychic.
The Heat tonight and a guy on the mound that does not have a big fastball. I think that 13 home runs away is probably going to go by the boards this evening.
A breaking in the air. Deep left. Just in time. My first prediction, I am either going to fly or ruin that family's picnic.
Hey, you've ruined our picnic.
Psychic.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Live from SNL, the exhibit, Museum of Broadcast Communications. I'm going to have to, if this outburst continues from this crowd, I'm going to have them removed.
You should have them
removed.
They
are out of control. They are just out of control. Horatio Sanz is going to join us in just a second. He's a big baseball nut like we all are. And Steve Stone is here on baseball, sponsored by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants. Where are you eating today, Mr. Stone?
Halstead. That's
wrong button.
A good place to go.
There he is.
Of course, this is summer, so there you go. Summer House. That's the key.
Summer House. There you go. Horatio Sanz, nice enough. He hasn't even been officially introduced yet, but nice enough to be on the show. John, make sure his microphone's on. And Horatio, I know what a baseball nut you are. This is Cy Young Award-winning Steve Stone. You get the first question.
Hey, Steve. This is Horatio Sanz from television.
Hello, Horatio. How are you?
Thank you, guys.
Any baseball question?
Can I ask him if he remembers a 16-inning game where I sang "Take Me Out to the Ball Game"?
Sure.
Do you remember this?
Sure.
Steve, it was a game that lasted 16 innings. Actually, it lasted, yeah, so by the time the 14th inning came, I thought I was going to sing again.
So you thought you'd sing twice.
And but they didn't. Instead, Steve said, oh, Horatio left. We're going to do it. And I didn't leave. I was waiting. I was waiting.
Does that ring a bell, Steve?
No, but actually we can bring him back tonight if he'd like. So that'd be good, although I'll probably wouldn't have a song for him. Other than that, everything would be fine.
Yeah, there you go.
I could improvise rap. I don't know. I still do a lot of improv. I could rap something for you guys.
Yeah. Well, listen, whatever works. Whatever works. Do you have a favorite baseball memory as a kid, Horatio?
My father said that I was there when Ernie Banks hit his 500th home run. But I think that's one of those things where, you know,
everybody was there.
Everyone was there. Yeah, there's like a million and a half people now that were there.
Right, right. The stadium was bigger then.
Yeah, they had no fences. You know, people hung out on the street in top hats.
Steve Stone, let's talk about those White Sox. You get four in a row and then a little slide again. To be expected?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you know, number one, you're facing a pretty good ball club with New York, who has this annoying tendency to hit the ball out of the ballpark. They're pretty decent. They came off a very tough series with the Red Sox. Quite obviously, we don't have the talent of the Red Sox. So I think the Yankees are very happy to come and see us this particular series. But look, Cleveland comes in, and we'll see what we can do with them. But yeah, I think the inconsistency is one of the trademarks of this ball club this year, and it's usually the case with teams that are under talented.
Steve, the recent resurgence of Jose Abreu, is that kind of the headline of the past week? Because it looks like he is finally hitting the ball.
Yeah, I don't think it's a surprise. I mean, we all knew that it would take maybe one at bat, one real good at bat that happened to come, I believe, on the road in Seattle, where it's one particularly good at bat, and I mentioned at the time that could possibly be the one that turns him around. As it turns out, it really is. I mean, he's too good a hitter to stay in the doldrums all that long, and so now if you make a mistake on him, now he hits it awfully hard, both hitting it out of the ballpark and just getting base hits, and that really has been that's been pretty much the MO for him. He'll go through periods where it looks like he's trying to take too much on himself, and then all of a sudden has one or two at bats, or maybe, you know, a ball game where he feels pretty good, and then he snaps out of it, and then he hits for 6 weeks or 2 months. And I think he's in the process of doing that now. So yeah, that is one of the the things that you concentrate on now. You just, for him, he just goes with it, because right now everything looks like a beach ball.
Remember, this young White Sox team, it's exciting because they'll give you a heart attack as soon as relief comes in late in the game. We've got every inning of it. Steve, super tight on time today. Horatio is here. We got Dan Aykroyd coming up. Nora Dunn as well. But my greatest concern is the PGA Championship. You're one of the better golfers that I've ever played with. Who you got for the weekend at the PGA?
Oh, geez. I, you know what? I've stayed so far away from that. I have no idea.
Stop it. Of course you do.
No, I mean, Thomas is playing well, obviously. That's one of the keys. He's doing real well. And there's a few other guys that you can't take out of there. But I don't know. I honestly haven't studied the course enough to know who's going to, you know, who has the inside track on that kind of course. I don't know.
Well, that's your homework. I'm going to call you at 2 p.m. and get your prediction then on your cell phone. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it as always. Thanks, buddy. That's Steve Stone and Horatio. Appreciate it. Thanks. Steve Stone on Baseball is sponsored by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants. And Steve's going over to Summer House today. We'll come back with Horatio in a second.
But I think it's going to be a long, long time before I ever see Taiwan again. The people suck and the food smells weird.
Applause years later, I love it.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
One of the nicest guys in show business. At least he always has been. We'll see if it goes wrong here. How are you, man? Good to see you.
I'm doing great. It's very nice to be here. I feel like because we're in the museum, I feel like you guys are all being honored as the greats in this business.
It really is the case.
And then, like, who's this guy at the end here?
the guy that slept an hour and a half.
You can tell, yeah, who has the great voice. All these beautiful voices, and then like, hey, hi, guys. Good morning.
Do you have any flashbacks hanging around this set or hanging around any of the other stuff here? The authenticity of this is real because it's the real stuff.
Yeah, it's perfect. And I remember being yelled at back there for missing a cue or something. No, it does. It brings back mostly great memories. But it's so accurate, it's kind of freaky. It's like kind of walking into the back of my brain somewhere.
Mostly great memories.
Yes. Well, because, you know, because sometimes you didn't have a show good, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I get you. Justin noticed something this morning we wanted to mention.
No, I saw it on Instagram that you became a citizen, which was something that you put up, and congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Horatio is such a funny guy that, you know, when you're following him on social media, he's funny and all the time, and this was something that wasn't funny. It was there, and everyone's like,
it's a nice boy from Santiago, Chile, by way of Chicago. Who's a citizen?
Yeah. Well, you know, when my parents conceived me, they did it here.
Yeah, nice.
And then I was going to be born an American citizen. They're like, well, we don't want him to be different than the rest of us, than my two other brothers and them. So they flew to Chile and had me there. So then they came back 2 months, you know.
I got to take a quiz now.
Yeah. So now I have to go through this thing because they had that, they had that decision to go there and then come back.
So selfish. So selfish.
So and then most of the time, you know, I'm from Chicago, so I know, you know, I voted a few times when I,
in every election.
When I couldn't, when I shouldn't have.
Yeah.
So I really wanted to make it official. I wanted to put a ring on it.
Congrats, man.
There you go. Congrats.
Yeah, thank you.
It's a cool thing.
I'm very proud, and it was very cool, like preparing for the test and getting to know that stuff over. Because, you know, here in Chicago, you take it in the eighth grade, you take a Constitution test. So it was all stuff that I'd learned before, but it was really good, and I felt really proud. I felt more proud than I thought I would.
It's a nice moment, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you have to sing? Don't you have to sing for that?
You almost. They play Lee Greenwood's Proud to Be an American.
Is there a karaoke section of the test at some point?
You know, there were people singing along, but I didn't. They don't have, like, the words on the screen. But, yeah, it's shots of the Statue of Liberty and flags and stuff, and it does get a little emotional.
Justin,
you're from Chicago, of course, and you spent time at Second City. We had Alex Moffat on a little bit earlier, and we were talking with I.O. It's a big weekend because Lorne Michaels is in town, and people are going to be getting their shot to get on SNL. Do you remember your shot? Do you remember the showcase in which they came out to see you perform in Chicago?
I did, and it was Tim Herlihy and Steve Higgins came out. You know, this is before Lorne.
Yeah.
Not before Lorne, like, not before Christ.
Higgins, by the way, is Jimmy. Higgins is Jimmy Fallon's announcer. For those of you looking for a few.
Yes, and producer still at Saturday Night Live.
Yeah,
still does a lot of work on the show. So yeah, when they came to see me, and I luckily had a great show, and I'd written a lot of the show, so it was kind of a little showcase that I've kind of written to get out, you know.
I gotta go now.
I gotta write my own sketches and sing and do everything. So that show was like just me doing every kind of performance.
How are you told that you got this show? Does your agent get a call? Do you get a call? How does that work?
You know, these guys that weren't my agents met me in a hotel lobby, and they're like, "Listen, they're gonna hire a few people, and we think you should be one of them." And I was like, "Okay."
How'd you know they were agents?
Sounds great. Because they were UCB's agents.
Oh, got it. Okay. Yeah.
So the UCB guys had a show on Comedy Central. So those guys.
Brigade, yeah.
So yeah. So then they invite you, which is fantastic news. But when I got the job, when I thought I had the job, I met with Lorne, and I was about to head back to Chicago, and I asked him, you know, okay, no one said you're hired. I said, so do I have to? Should I tell my parents I have to move to New York? And he said, you can tell them that you're going to move to New York, but don't tell them you'll be on the show necessarily.
Don't make promises because Lorne doesn't know if you're the guy.
No, and he couldn't tell me. He just could not tell me. So I flew back, got to Chicago, and I think a few hours after I got back home, I got a call. And and then I screamed.
Well, of course you
for
did.
Like 15 minutes,
like a junior high girl, as you should have.
Absolutely, yes.
You're doing a Match Game with Alec Baldwin, I think, in about a week, right?
Next week, next Thursday.
Yeah, he's a very funny dude.
He is. You know, I've always said Alec Baldwin could be a part of any of the great casts of SNL. And, and all the, everybody loves him and agrees.
What else you got going? What else are you working on? Other than being here, which is a great break for you.
Well, you know, this is a you know, job that I do with pride and love because of the museum. But also, you know, I'm going to go to see the Cubs on Saturday. But, yeah, I'm
so you're not here for me, is what you're trying to
exactly.
say.
Exactly, yeah.
We'll be at that game, just so you know. So maybe Horatio will see you.
Yeah, there you go.
I would love to see you.
What a load of crap.
But Horatio, you've got such an interesting career, because after SNL, you've been able to pick and choose in a way. I mean, you work with Tina Fey and others on Great News, but you also showed up on Glow on Netflix. I mean, you have found spots to be. How much has SNL helped you be able to have an independent career after the fact?
Well, you know, it's one of those things, like, you know, I grew up and SNL people were my heroes, and so people that are that age, they're now making television, so they're more excited to see you.
Nice pipeline.
Yeah, so they're like, oh, I like this guy already, and, you know.
So it's a lot like going to Yale or Harvard, where people get you a job, except it's not like Yale or Harvard. It's like that?
It's like you don't have to do much work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
don't
yeah,
have to go,
yeah,
I don't
yeah,
have
yeah.
to hustle as much.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's great. Listen, it's great to see you. Welcome home.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations on the big news, and congratulations on all of it. Listen, you've always been great to me, and it's just nice to see you in person, because normally we do this by phone. And for all these people here who I'm sure would love selfies with you, maybe just give them $20 and you can get out of here faster. It's just a thought.
I'm just going to take one mass selfie.
Okay.
And
that's fine.
Just everybody's just got to pass it along to each other.
Right.
There you go.
And a
bozo bucket.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Richard.
Thank you, guys.
Dan Aykroyd coming up. News time now. The Steve Cochran Show, celebrating the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 7:20.
Super Bass-O-Matic 76 is the tool that lets you use the whole bass with no fish waste, without scaling, cutting, or gutting. Here's how it works. Catch a bass, remove the hook, and drop the bass. That's the whole bass into the Super Bass-O-Matic 76. Now adjust the control dial so that that bass is blended just the way you like it.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Baby, don't you wanna go?
You know, with all the people running for mayor in this town, why don't we just bring Aykroyd in to run the city? Adopt him as a native Chicagoan, make him the honorary mayor, and let him run things. Ladies and gentlemen, the legend, Dan Aykroyd.
Gentlemen, a strong word, but just hearing the music and thinking about Chicago, look what Chicago has given this planet. Look, I mean, the electrified blues, the great sports legacies, the architecture. You see the great architects of the world displayed before you, Louis Sullivan and Johnson and Frank Lloyd right there at the joint in the river near the greatest nightclub in the world, the House of Blues Estate in Dearborn. I mean, you know, people come from all over the world because of Buddy Guy's legends and just the blues legacy alone.
Exactly right.
The beauty of the city, the river, the concrete beach. It sounds like it's a great day there, 70-some degrees.
Yeah,
where I am, it's been like Mississippi, 100 degrees. That's up in eastern Ontario. Just wild.
It's a wacky weather, wacky time, but it's always a pleasure to speak to you. Actually, you know, before we talk about this exhibit in Saturday Night Live, I was thinking about you when I saw that Clooney made $1 billion on his tequila, because you have been a pioneer specifically in vodka for some time now, and I was hoping for your own billion to come in. Tell me about Skull Vodka.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, those, you know, that kind of number is what they, you know, that's the kind of number everyone would like to shoot for. But Skull is a beautiful, valuable company, because, you know, we don't use terpenes, glycerol, sugar. We are finding in our demographic that ladies like it because it's clean, and also our target demographic. We did some surveys. People who have college degrees like it. The smart people like it. They like to drink clean, and in fact. You know, we have some great accounts in Chicago where you can get it. They're selling it at hip accounts where people come in. They're a little upscale. They want to spend a little more, treat themselves at the end of the week by buying the superior Skull Vodka. We make it in Newfoundland, Canada. And it's just clean. And our notes are sweet, vanilla, dry, crisp, with a kick of heat off the finish. My truck left the highway when I heard those notes. And Progress Bar in Halstead, Roscoe's Tavern has it, Music Box Theater, Hydrate, Hamburger Mary's, Berlin, Whiskey Business,
Look
the Matchbox. Yeah. Silver Palm, great. The Venici's pizza, man, you can't be beat that. Wakamono, which is really neat. They, you know, that they're featuring a vodka there because it's not known as like a vodka place. Cheesy's Pub and Grill, Aaron's Thighs Restaurant. These are all like they serve. They're either serving great music or great food, and that's what Skull Vodka likes to hook ourselves up with.
Quality that website you want to mention?
That's what we're using. Quality elements, and we like to be with quality people purveying at quality spots like Wood on North Halstead, Emporium Logan Square. Again, these are places that are serving great food and great
music. Just off the top of Dan Aykroyd's head.
That's where you can get it.
That was great.
What's the website?
It's www.crystalheadvodka.com. And what's interesting, you get on there and you see the things that artists are doing with the bottle. We've got thousands of pictures of what artists are doing. You know, one of them sent me, you know, photos of a black skull with a zipper going all the way up.
Was that my grandmother? Did my grandmother send that in?
They fill it with a model airplane glue, Smarties, colored sand. You know, I've seen one look like the Coldstream Guards. They put hats on them, patches on them, Santa hats.
Dan, I just wish you were passionate about the product. I wish you cared. That's all.
Well, it's funny what they do with the bottle. And I have a barn here with 300. The company's 10 years old. We're still alive. A miracle after 10 years in that business. But it's because of our quality and people like it, and we have repeat buyers.
Sure.
But I got 300 skulls. 300 skulls empty because the parties over the years, I do drink the product in moderation, but I have these blasts in the winter and the summer, and
I'll bet.
I wish I had a camera. I could show you this wall of skulls. I think I'm
just
going to
come by the house. I'll come by the house. Listen, I'm going to swing by. Come by the house after the show. We are live in the SNL.
I could have you. Let's see the float plane. I could pick you up at Midway. Have you at the lake here within about under 2 hours.
Done.
Under
done.
2 hours. Have you right at my
done. And I'll bring in Portillo's. So you know, at least I'm bringing something to the party.
Spectacular.
All right, so when you get stopped, when people stop you,
stopped
they want to talk
police,
about SNL.
I was just recently.
Well, the police, of course, I understand.
Yes.
Listen, you're going to beat that charge.
Have interesting encounters there.
When you get stopped and people want to talk about SNL, what do they bring up? What character?
Well, I get, you know, different ones. I get Fred Garvin, male.
Right. Fred Garvin, male prostitute.
You know, you will be spared. When my species overtakes your miserable planet, Steve Cochran, you and your assistants and staff will be placed on the protected rolls. I will destroy the planet, but I will save WGN only in the city of Chicago.
That's my favorite.
Hey, Dan, we've been talking.
I feel like a conehead. Of all the characters I've ever played in the career, I've been, you know, most fortunate to work with great collaborators. That's why the career has been so fulfilling. Great people worked with, and great collaborators on Conehead. Really had a lot of fun. Lauren produced that, of course. That's my favorite character of all. I would do that again. I would do a sitcom as that character. And I'm not a big fan of doing sitcoms. I like watching them, but not doing them. But I would do that. I would come every week.
Hey, that's tremendous. Well, it's a great character.
Dan, you've been asking former cast members and current cast members about their sort of origin story, what they remember about getting hired on the show on Saturday Night Live. For you, it's a well-documented story about how you guys came from, Second City and other places and to start the program. Do you remember how you got hired to be on Saturday Night Live?
How about this? Do you remember the 70s?
Well, you know, the 70s, there's a lot of it's a blur. Of course, a lot of it I've had erasure to take a lot of it out. You know, I go to the erase, you know, the mind erasers. Remove this one. Remove that one. Oh, no, let me keep that. Her? Maybe. And so that gets done. But what happened was John came up to raid for Lampoon. He came up to grab Gilda and me and a few others out of Second City in Toronto. He blew through the door of Second City on a wintry February night, underdressed in a driver's cap and a wool knit sweater and sneakers and jeans with the pack of Marlboros and a scarf thrown around him. He looked like a theater director, which I believe he would have become had he lived. And he came in and it's a wash of snow, and he was like a silhouette. It was like this magic figure silhouetted by the nightlight in Toronto that night when we were doing a set at Second City. Walked in, he did the set with us. Of course, hilarious, came back to the 505, and that night, this was 1973 and a half, kind of, and we concocted the Blues Brothers that night. So So when we came to Saturday Night Live, we had already met, John and I. Uh-huh. And we already concocted the Blues Brothers, and we were already looking at records and an idea of doing an act. And Lorne got wind of this, that the two of us already had, you know, kind of formed a team and a cabal already almost. And he said, I can't hire both of them. I got to hire one or the other, because I don't want two of these artists against me in decisions. You know, he anticipated that that would happen, and it did.
Right.
And so he said he didn't want to hire both of us, but Tom Davis and Gilda Radner and Al Franken, John was the first hire. They were going to hire him, me secondary, even though I'd worked with Lorne, and we had a past, and a good past, and a good relationship, and I'd talked with him about doing the show years before. In the end, he was going to favor John, and it was Gilda and Franken and Davis that said that lobbied for me to be hired. So they really weighed in on me. Had they not, I probably would be. I'd be in the snowplow business. I'd have a fleet of them, but I would be in that business.
Right, right. You'd be solid. You know, it was a ritual, and I know you know this, but Saturday nights, no matter how popular you were as a kid, you would hustle back to the house to make sure you were there by 10:30 in the Midwest or 11:30 on the East Coast to see Saturday Night Live. Do you remember what it felt like that first show? When I think the show was just called Saturday Night, right?
Yeah, I do. I was just at the opening of the National Comedy Center, and they asked me that, of course. That's an incredible facility, by the way, in Jamestown, New York. It's Lucille Ball's hometown. And wow, what a digital interface they have with the audience. It's so academically set up. It's just beautiful research.
In the middle of nowhere. In the middle of nowhere in southern New York.
That's Lake Chautauqua. It's very sacred. Lilydale, New York is also there, America's psychic community. Chautauqua Institution were these Baptist tents, and now there's all these multi-millionaire mansions and the old Athenaeum Hotel, a beautiful old tomb on Lake Chautauqua. Seward was from there, you know, the cabinet minister under Lincoln around there. There's a lot of history there, but it's not a bad drive from Chicago, and I encourage all your listeners out there, anybody who wants to write comedy, perform comedy, wants to know about comedy, wants to, as that as a career, I would say flock to the National Comedy Center in Jamestown.
I agree.
Because the way they lay it out, it really makes you realize how difficult it is to make it. First of all, the quality that's necessary, but also what happens when you do make it, and how huge one can become, touching a comic nerve in the world, like Jonathan Winters or George Carlin. And they asked me that, and I'm not sure what the answer is.
I have one. Dan, it's a well-known story in Chicago. It's mythical, the idea of you guys being at Second City in Chicago and then having a bar across the street in Old Town that you would go to when everything else closed. Is that true? Was there a speakeasy that nobody knew about, that there was a password and a knock on a door that guys like you and John Belushi would
sure.
host?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, you know, the limousines were lined up, and the armor would go up, and I'd close it at 10:30 in the morning. In the morning, but the Comedy Center encouraged people to go to. I really do. It's really great. And you asked me a question leading to that. I've got lots there.
I think the question was, do you remember the first episode?
Oh yeah, right. It's because I got carried away thinking about that great experience down there, and everybody's got to go there. Yeah, sure. George Carlin's daughter was there, and that's what I wanted to. Hey, I got my train of thought back. That's pretty good at 66. Everybody out there.
Yeah,
I always get the train of thought back. Yeah, George Carlin's daughter was there. And I remember they asked me that, and I remember vividly standing under the audience and looking up at the stage and going, you know, and Carlin doing his monologue and thinking, this is really going well. Now I've got a sketch coming up. Garrett and I have to play thieves that break into a house and show you, you know, how vulnerable your house is. If this doesn't go well, that it's the end. If it goes well, could be good. And so we were just really nervous, went on, got the laughs, come off, and the audience reacted, and I thought, this could be great. Now, Lorne Wisely asked NBC, hey, I'm not going to do one or two of these. You got to give me at least seven. And so by the time the seventh one was on, we were we were on our way. But yes, I got out past that a lot, and I just and so excited about the Comedy Center that I got off on that tangent.
No, it's understandable. And nobody alive in 1975 said, "Oh yeah, 40 years." Yeah, they got 40 years in them. The audience, one question for Mr. Aykroyd. Shoot your hand up if anybody wants to say hi to Dan and has a question for one of the great legends. And one of your questions could be, "Can I have some free Skull vodka?" Mention sure. That website again, Dan, if you would.
Our World Wide Web, crystalheadvodka.com, and again, Wood, Music Box Theater, Hydrate, Hamburger, Mary's, Berlin, Whiskey Business, The Match, and Silver Palm, Venice Pizza, Wakamono, Cheesy's Pub and Grill, Arun's Thai Restaurant, Reggie's Music Point, Joint, Emporium, Logan Square, Roscoe's Tavern, Progress Bar, you know, that. Gotta plug my beautiful vendors here, you know, who've gotten behind the product. And what you get at each one of those places is great music or great food or both.
Or both. We have a little boy named David who's always been a big fan, who's got a limp.
How often do you make it back to Chicago, and when are you touring next as the Blues Brothers?
I'm going to be in town on August 28th at the House of Blues for, I think it's
right
the
next door, people.
Party that that Mr. Belushi's arranged us to play at, and but it will be at that wonderful Opera Hall of the Blues, which we were so happy to, with many people, to construct and place there in Chicago. It is one of the greatest venues in the world. We don't have enough blues music in it, but you see, radio generally is not real good to the blues, and also, you know, we've got to encourage people to listen to it and go out and see the artists. And, you know, if I wanted to fill that music hall, I'd have to have four headliners instead of one blues headliner. You know, in the old days, you could just put you know, Otis Clay in there. But
you're right, though, especially in Chicago. Chicago to Memphis, Memphis to Chicago and back. It's a great blues trail, but we need to do it all over. All right, look, we kept you way longer than we should have. We appreciate
the
time.
No problem. Yeah, you guys, there's this Saturday Night Live thing going on at the Museum of Broadcast Communications
right,
in Chicago.
Where we're sitting, baby, right here.
Yeah, another great facility, and I think they're honoring Lorne, and they've got a Coneheads costume there, and I think a Bass-O-Matic, and some great talent's going to be there. Amy Poehler, Alex Moffat, Tracy Morgan, Seth Meyers. I wish I could make it, but can't wait till I get back to Chi-Town. That's going to be great. I'll just remember you're from 100 miles away.
That's exactly right. Just remember, you'll always be my favorite male prostitute.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
and
again,
thank you. National Comedy Center.
National Comedy Center, had to
get that. Yeah, and you know, you guys are great to plug the vodka and everything. But I don't, you know, I'm not selling used battery acid here. it's clean. It's clean. It's good. And as I say, what I do is I take two shots of it and I squeeze tangerine juice in there into a tumbler and ice and I stir it around, and that's the Crystal Driver. And I think
that's lunch.
What's that?
That's lunch. That's lunch, what you just described right there.
Well, yeah, you know, after the yard arm, after the sun hits the yard arm and the shadow falls on the helm, that kind of thing. Yeah, sure. Everything in moderation.
All right. Be well, my friend. Be well. Be well. And thank you for doing this. It's Dan Aykroyd.
Sure.
What's coming up here in just a couple of minutes?
Thank you, guys. Take care. Right.
Dan Aykroyd, he's a national treasure. Isn't that great?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
John DeCuz, we're doing stand-up comedy. Where and when?
We are doing it August 24th, Friday, 8 o'clock in St. Charles at Zany's St. Charles. And you get your tickets at zanys.com. That's you, me, and Mike Toomey from WGN-TV.
One of the funniest guys. Dan Aykroyd will be on podcast. How soon?
20 minutes.
20 minutes to podcast, if in case you missed any of Dan Aykroyd or didn't have a chance to write down all the places his vodka is sold. So look for that as well. We'll come back with the headlines next.
Would you be mad? Would you be mad? I wish you were my neighbor.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, girl.
Welcome to Church Chat. I'm the church lady.
Live from the Museum of Broadcast Communications, it's Steve Cochran at Saturday Night Live, The Experience on 720 WGN.
Let's give some stuff away. We got more stuff to give away. We have Bozo buckets.
We have two.
And these fit my head, so these are very special Bozo buckets. We determined the number five bucket will not fit my head, but the number six bucket will. So it's important information. John will ask the audience a question. If you have the answer, shoot your hand up. And if you need help, you can ask for help.
Easier this time.
Yes, this is good. Here we go.
Right.
These are both number six buckets, just so you know.
Right, they both fit
and
my
they're
head.
All both number nine if they're upside down.
All right, exciting stuff.
There we go. This actor matched and then exceeded Steve Martin as the most to host SNL 18 times.
All right. 18 times.
18 Ariana Grande.
Times. It is not Ariana
Tom
Grande.
Tom Hanks.
No.
That's a good answer. But that is a good answer.
You said Tom
Hanks.
Very good
answer. He did it a lot.
Justin Timberlake.
No.
Also a good answer. They're both five-timers. I know that.
No, 18
Alex
times.
Alex Baldwin?
Yeah.
That's it. Matched. Baldwin. Matched.
Yeah.
Did you hear the matched?
I heard it, John.
Got it. That was good.
Alex Baldwin.
Good.
So we got a bozo bucket. All right, next question.
This actor was under siege by the rest of the cast members as the worst host ever.
Steven Seagal.
Yeah, there
that's
you
it.
Go.
Steven Seagal was it. Yes,
bozo
I did hear
bucket.
It.
You got a bucket. Got a bucket.
Can we make it mandatory that the winners of the buckets have to put the buckets on their heads?
Yes, you must wear the bucket for the remainder of the show. And by the way, Pete, my man up here, who has been here all morning long, he was close on that, so give him $100 out of your wallet.
I don't have a wallet.
Good. Oh, you don't have a wallet. Well, it's fortunate for you, I suppose.
Now, we've
pulled someone out of the audience. This is a little controversial.
Okay.
Lorne Michaels in town tonight, and we can't tell this is going to happen, but we believe he's here, amongst other reasons, to check out new talent for this fall and beyond. And this guy, I was talking to him during a break, and sir, what is your name?
Hey, Steve, good morning. I'm Johnny Bordello.
Johnny Bordello, and Johnny, you have quite a controversial claim that you're making.
Yeah, well, Lorne Dunn stole everything from me, all my ideas.
I don't think so.
He did, Steve.
I don't think, we're not sitting in the Johnny Bordello exhibit.
No. I opened up my own dinner theater. It was called Johnny Bordello's House of Swillin' Fruit.
Right.
And we did it. Get this. We did it. We was losing money on a Sunday, okay? We had this Billy Ocean cover band from New York, the Caribbean Queens.
Yes.
We were losing money on them. So I started this thing with a bunch of comics. We did it. We called it Sunday Afternoon Not Dead.
Sunday Afternoon Not Dead. Well, that is similar to Saturday Night Live. I will say that.
And he stole all of our bits. Like, we have one of them, these two moms, right? They love footwear so much. Okay. Then they end up in jail, right? They get out, they form their own folk music band. That bit was called the Shoes Mothers.
Oh, that's strong.
He stole it, Steve.
What else did he steal?
Lorne Michaels stole
what
it from us.
What else did he steal?
We had this guy who had his own kid show from like a trailer park, but he was like addicted to cough medicine. He was called Mr. Robitussin's Neighborhood.
Mr. Robitussin's
Neighborhood. Stole it from me, Steve.
It's also, I can completely
totally
see
ripped
that.
Us off, Steve. All right.
Did you do a form of Weekend Update since we're sitting here on the set?
No, that's his.
Oh, that's his. All right.
I give him full credit on that one. That was his. Plus, I didn't write a bit for that, so I have to go with that. I'll tell you what he did, Steve. We had a luggage salesman who keeps, like, getting different jobs, right?
Okay.
And then he couldn't stop selling luggage, and then he got an argument with the customers.
Okay.
And that was the Samsonite Warrior.
The Samsonite Warrior.
How come they're booing, Steve?
I don't know.
It was just my friends, and now I was sitting with them not too long ago.
Are you considering legal action?
Yeah, we wanted. Well, first of all, we had our group, which was called Not Ready for Prime Rib Players.
Right.
And that's on Sunday afternoon, not dead.
Right.
Come out.
Right.
We're in Bolingbrook now. We moved.
Oh, nice. Yeah. The mayor would appreciate that.
So, we're going to sue. I'm hoping to get, like, I don't know, maybe about $1,000.
Really? So, you're really going for the throat on this guy?
I didn't want to push it, but I think $1,000 is reasonable.
And when?
That's like 28 dinners.
And when did this dinner theater of yours start?
2016.
Started in 2016.
Yeah, we was open for about 2 months.
You know, SNL started in 1975.
Okay.
What's
so you're saying I ain't getting $1,000?
I don't like your chances.
This show used to be hosted by my friend
Steve Cochran,
but he developed spilkus in his connecticutzoink.
At the Saturday Night Live exhibit on 720 WGN.
All of these people are excited. These folks are excited because they're going to be going around to the three different floors of Saturday Night Live, the experience. Have you taken a tour?
I have. It's awesome.
Yeah. What's your favorite part?
I love the all the different commercial products for all the parody commercials.
Like the Bass-O-Matic?
Yeah, the Bass-O-Matic and Colon Blow and all that is in there. There's some really great artifacts from... And then they, like we said earlier in the show, they have a whole room for costumes. And when they go back, I think it was both Will Ferrell and I think as well Tina Fey, when they host, they have to send those costumes back to SNL. So they're the real costumes. You get to be up front and close and personal to the actual costumes that they like, the cheerleaders and Sarah Palin, things like that. They're in this exhibit, which is really cool.
And they've never been washed.
And when Sarah,
no, they haven't been washed.
When Sarah Palin was on, they sent back Colon Blow, and they didn't even ask for it.
Yeah, right.
That's unnecessary, and I reject. I'm ashamed of myself. Before I forget, Super Joe back at the 303 East Wacker Fabulous Studios of WGN. Who else do we need to thank?
Mr. Bob Ferguson.
Okay.
Yeah, Bob.
And anybody else we've forgotten, we apologize. And thanks for Marlene for setting all this up as always. How about a hand for Marlene?
And thanks.
Hey, Marlene.
Yeah.
This is Marlene's 100,000th WGN remote. So thank you for that. And Adam, of course, over here pushing the buttons. Doesn't Adam look like he enjoys his job? Doesn't he look thrilled?
And also thanks to everyone who came out today. This is great to have an audience to do this show in the morning in such a tremendous space. And then have this audience. It's great.
All right. We only got a couple minutes, John, but let's give away some more stuff.
Perfect. Perfect. Ready? Everybody ready for this? Here we go.
Shoot your hand up if you have an answer.
This hippy-dippy guy was SNL's first host.
Oh, this just came up.
Ackroyd just mentioned it.
This just came up.
Yeah, that's...
Go ahead. Say it again.
George Carlin.
George Carlin.
That is Carlin.
There you go.
Congratulations.
Nice work
on
that.
What has he won? Producer of the program?
Lou Malnati's.
Lou Malnati's Pizza.
I was deciding what
Were you getting another show on your headphones at that point?
I was getting breaking information that John Williams is going to join us on Monday. So.
Oh, that's exciting. I don't know how you booked him. That's why you're the best. John, one more.
And here we go. Lorne Michaels once offered these two $3,000 to do a walk-on.
Yes, I know this one.
They not only turned him down, but they also turned down $240 million to get the band back together.
The Beatles?
Yes. Well, who are the two?
Paul.
George.
George.
Rhymes with George Harrison.
George. John.
Was it George?
No, George.
It was Ringo and Paul?
It was John and Paul.
It was John and Paul.
Oh, that's right. John was still alive.
Yeah.
That's right. You know what? You won because I like you.
But the best bit, and I still think it's so hilarious, is when George Harrison came on, that Lorne Michaels has the bit where he's like, well, it had to be the whole band. Like, he's finagling to get him out of the great
right.
bit.
Right,
yeah.
right.
Plus,
right.
he offered him $3,000, and they turned down $240 million.
It would have been cool if they took the $3,000.
Yes.
I'm going to give her Lou Malnati's gift card.
Give one to my buddy. Give one to my man here.
All right.
So many
That's
gift cards.
That's three Lou Malnati's gift cards.
Yeah, all right, so give one to everyone here.
Sarah.
Wow, Steve. Now that he's going to...
Oh, no, he didn't.
And give them all Lorne Michaels' cell phone number.
I don't have the authority to do that either.
Are you guys going on the tour?
Yeah.
Oh, she's got to leave. Just pick out a couple more you want to give them away. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you to Sarah Thiemann for...
Yes, thank you, Sarah. Sarah loves me. Give away more prizes than we have available. We got to go. And thank you guys very much. I love you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you
for supporting WGN.
Thanks for coming out.
Get ready. You're going to take the tour, and it's SNL, the experience here at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. Get down here yourself and see it before it's gone on New Year's Eve. 9:58, goodbye from here, back there for Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN.